Tonight's Bible reading will be from 1 Corinthians 31 to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Page 812 in the Red Pew Bibles. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
You want to know who I am, so how about we pray and then we can get stuck in. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, and so we ask that you help us to listen. And Father, we ask that tonight we might be able to again reflect on who Christ is and then think how it is that we can live like him to the glory of your name, to promote your gospel, and that people might be saved like Sarah, like Emmy, like many others in this room, and then go on to praise your name all the more. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Yep, let's go. I know we were just standing, but let's give it a go. And can you all see me okay? Yes? Yeah, can you all see me okay? Yes? No? We'll grow. No. It was to the youth. Tonight is a bit different. We have the youth here and we want to show them that we love them and care for them. And so we're going to try some stuff. What I want you to do is to imitate me. All right? It's going to be simple. It's not going to be all that flash. But imitate me. Now, don't mirror me. Imitate me. Yeah? All right. So are you ready? This will get us ready for the sermon. Arms up. Oh, you're ready. Imitate, not mirror. Think about that. I'm going to the right. Thank you. Okay, and actually really stretch it out. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, and then just a few of these. Just a few. You do it between songs. Let's be real. Okay. Okay, step to the right. Step to the right and sit down. No, don't sit down. Step to the left. Step to the left. You should be in your seat. Take a seat. All right, so I said imitate me, yeah? Imitation, it's an interesting thing. Oscar Wilde actually says, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness, as we've just experienced. Now, neither are you mediocre nor me great, but it's an interesting thing when we consider imitation, isn't it? Imitation, we all do it in some way or another. When I was growing up, used to watch a wonderful TV show called The O.C., and there was a character in The O.C. called Seth Cohen who I wanted to imitate. And so I changed my wardrobe. I tried to get a friend like Ryan so that I was like Seth Cohen. And if you come to my house and you see my little son, Micah, it's concerning because the person that he wants to imitate the most is me. And you then learn what it is that I normally wear, because if he's allowed to wear whatever it is that he wants to wear, he'll go upstairs, he'll get his soccer shorts and a not matching, that gets me a little bit, but a not matching soccer shirt, and that's the thing that he'll be in the whole time, the whole day. If he could wear that any day, that's what he'd wear. And part of that is because he's imitating me and he knows I like sport and he wants to be like his dad. Imitation, we all do it. So I'm going to ask today, and I want you to consider right now, who do you want to be like? Maybe you don't even realize it because you're just doing it. You are being like somebody. Who are you being like? You might not even want to. You just are picking up these habits, these things. And why? Why is it that you imitate the people that you imitate? You see, we've been going through this series in thinking about the idea of being a sent people. And so if you've not been with us, the real sort of foundation for our series has been John 20:21, which says, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. And even in that, think about that. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so tonight we're going to think, we are to be like Christ. Now if you wanted something a little bit more exegetical, the morning services have that. Tonight we've got the same fruits of what the Bible has to say, but we wanted to, again, be loving to the youth. And what I want to show us tonight is that Paul picks up this theme of imitation, and it's not a like, look at me thing. It's not that at all. He's really, ultimately wanting us in being like Christ, to point to him, to show the gospel's attractiveness and show God's glory. Paul is going to say later on, we'll read it, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Watch me be like Christ so that you can come to know and understand who Christ is and what he is like. And so my question for you then is, what was Jesus like? The first things that pop into your head, what was Jesus like? If you had to explain it to somebody, this guy that came and lived and walked on this earth, Jesus, what was he like? Well, let me tell you what the scriptures say he was like. He was, Colossians 1:15, the Son, this is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh, that's speaking about Jesus, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Here is God on earth. That's what Jesus was like. Now, there's a movie called Like Mike. Has anybody seen the movie Like Mike? Yeah, what's it about? I don't know it. I just know the movie title. And I presumed it's about a guy trying to be like Mike. Yeah? Like Michael Jordan. Or is it, as in he plays basketball, is that right? Michael Jordan, let's move on, is called the GOAT. Have you ever heard of that phrase, the GOAT? Some of you have? No. G-O-A-T. Michael Jordan is regarded as the greatest of all time when it comes to basketball. He is wonderful. He's the greatest. Similar to like Michael Phelps. People would call Michael Phelps the GOAT. Similar to Roger Federer. Roger Federer would be called the GOAT. Now, I'm going to suggest, in a way, Jesus comes and he shows something. See, Michael Jordan, people watch him. They watch his film tape, don't they? They watch his tape. They watch how he moves, how he plays the game. And then they try to what? Imitate him. They try to be like Mike. Jesus came saying he was the Son of Man. It was like his favorite title for himself. This means that Jesus is saying when he comes, he comes as the representative human. He is saying, I am the GOAT. Like, I'm the greatest of all time human. And he's not wrong. Because Jesus embodies what we were each meant to be. Like, you want to be fully human, you want to be as you were meant to be, then you need to be like Jesus. Whoever is in this room here now today, whoever was before any person in this room, whoever will be, the greatest example of what a human is Jesus. And you want to know what he's like? You want to watch him? Where do you think you go? To the scriptures, to the gospels. You read the Gospels, you consume them, not just a general idea. Now, there might be some people in here who don't know Jesus at all. As in, you might have been like, what's Jesus? Like, I don't know, good guy, teacher, that cross thing. And there's other people who may think they know him, but again, generally know him. They could tell you all the details in the Gospel in a general way. But if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to know him inside and out. All the little bits and features and everything. So the Gospels should be something that we are constantly going to, longing to understand more from. There are heaps of things that we could say Jesus is like. You probably thought some before. Tonight, I want to suggest two as we work through this and use a couple of passages to help us then see how we're to be like Christ. The two things are, he was attractive and humble. So to be like Christ is to be attractively humble. Now, let me clarify that. Attractive in character and behavior, all right? And humble in character and behavior. So we should have these things too. That will mean that we promote the gospel. That will mean that we promote God's glory. And that will mean that we see people saved. So firstly then, how do we attract? How do you do it? Yeah? You figured it out? I wasn't going to tell this illustration, but I'm going to use it. No, like it's not a teaching moment. I used to be a PE teacher and kids learnt that pheromones attract. Now, I don't know whether it's because they realised that pheromones are in sweat that you go into a year 7 classroom after they left and it was just not very nice. Or just, they just didn't look after themselves. But the pheromones, and they were like, oh, pheromones, how do you get pheromones? What are pheromones? They didn't really understand that this idea because they wanted to attract the opposite sex and pheromones attract that. I'm going to ask, how is it that we are actually properly attractive, not worrying about pheromones? Because, well, was Jesus attractive? Was he attractive? We're not talking about that airbrushed picture of him with his blue eyes and his blonde flowing hair, because that's not what Jesus would have looked like at all. He was Middle Eastern, not American. Like, that's the truth of the matter. He wasn't a surfer. Like, he was a Middle Eastern man. But he was attractive. Do you know how I know he was attractive? Because the Gospels tell me and historical accounts tell me that people flocked to see this guy. People flocked to hear this guy. They were attracted to him because of his behavior, because of his character, because of his actions and what he did. And so we too, if we're to be like Christ, need to be attractive. And our first passage tonight, I want you to turn to Titus 2. If you have a Bible in front of you or an app or something like that, everybody jump to Titus 2. And we're going to look at Titus 2 verses 1 to 10. This passage is going to be really helpful because Paul shows us the character and behavior for Christians, and particularly Christians for mission. See, what happens is in verse 1, he addresses Titus, the leader in Crete, calling him to teach the truth, the true gospel, and says, you teach it and the people are to live it, basically. So then he goes on and he addresses all these various groups with sort of specific instructions for them as they live in Crete. Older men, you live this way. Younger women, like that. Young men and then slaves. And then have a look at verses 5 and verse 10. Because there he gives the reasons. He says, don't make the gospel, the word of God, unattractive, but attractive. Let me read verse 5 for you. Verse 5 at the end, it says, so that no one will malign the word of God. Don't do these things so that no one will malign it. And then verse 10, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. So we can see we can have unattractive habits that might cause people to think things are unattractive, and we can have attractive habits. Do you have any unattractive habits? Yeah, I saw somebody actually sort of thinking, oh, do I? Yeah. I'll throw myself under the bus here. I do. It was recently pointed out to me that, see, like, I like to have fresh breath, okay? I talk to people a lot, and so I chew gum. Maybe I chew it a little bit too much and too enthusiastically, and so people can then see the gum and they're a bit like, and I also learnt, there's one girl in my home group last year who, like, hates the smell of mint a lot. Yes, you. And for that reason, dislikes people chewing gum. And I found that, I'm like, oh man, I swallowed it immediately. Chewing gum, it can be an unattractive habit with the way that I did anyway. And there's another thing, people often ask me about my lip. It's like, why is your lip cracked, man? And I said, oh, it's dry. But the truth is, if I get nervous and inside me I've got this sort of stuff going on, it just bubbles up, and my action is I just sit there and I pick my lip. It's not exactly a nice thing if you're sitting there with me and I'm picking my lip. And then, yes, it causes this big split and all the rest. These are little unattractive habits that I have that stem from things and thoughts and feelings inside of me. Now, I'm going to suggest Christians can have these habits too. Christians can be, well, just plain not generous, lacking forgiveness, complainers, harmful and hurtful. They can lie and steal, even in the small things. And we do it, don't we, all the time. And we seem very good at contradicting our words with our actions. And yet here in Titus, Paul is saying, look at verse 7 and 8. He's basically saying, verse 7 and 8, make sure your words and deeds are beyond reproach. Look at the end of verse 8. They have nothing bad to say about us. As in, do all these things. Don't be unattractive, because if they've got something bad to say about you, you're not living in line with what it is that's happening. Now, as children, we often carry our parents' reputation around with us, don't we? We can do things. Like this week, Micah just happened to hit a child with a cricket bat. Okay? That child was playing with one of his friends, and the way he explained it to me was, I just wanted to play with my friend. And so he hit this poor girl with a cricket bat. Now, I'm learning more and more and more how it is that a child's reputation actually plays out for the parent as well. And it's the same for us as Christians. We have been called the children of God. We have been sent to be like Christ, to reveal what God is like. And if we're going around hitting people with cricket bats, that brings a particular reputation, doesn't it? And so one of the things that Paul points to here, you see it time and time again in Titus 2, is this concept of self-control. We are to be people who are self-controlled. Our habits should be, in that respect, then controlled in such a way that we are making the gospel attractive. And that's where we're going to move next. Because Paul says, don't create unattractive habits. Don't go chewing gum and picking your lip like a crazy man, but be self-controlled. And then look at the end of verse 10. He says, be attractive, basically, doesn't he? Let me read it. So that in every way, they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. What do you do to attract? What do you do? This word, I don't know whether you knew this, but this word actually is the root word for what they get cosmetics out of. What are cosmetics? Like the stuff you put on your face. And you don't put it there to protect your face from the sun, do you? Like it's not there so that you go out and you've got an extra layer so that you're not being burnt. What do you put like makeup on for? Lachlan? What do you put makeup on for? I mean, it's sort of to attract. It's to beautify yourself, isn't it? To make beautiful. So this word is sort of like to make beautiful, to prepare in that way. Now, there is a difference to makeup when it comes to how it is that we beautify the gospel. Because, as they say, you can put makeup on a pig, it is still a pig. It's not changed on the inside there, is it? But this is something that comes from within. What we see, this is something that comes from within. Have a look at verses 11 to 13. For the grace of God, he's now explaining where this stuff comes from, what the ultimate motivation is. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say what? No to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, where does it come from? It's not like a cosmetic that you chuck on your face. It comes from within. As the gospel takes hold, as you learn and understand what it means for Jesus to love you and the Spirit transforms you, the fruits of the gospel come. And when I say the fruits of the Spirit, what do we start to think of? I hope you think of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There you go. They're the things that can form good, attractive habits. That's the way that you attract. So let me ask you, what sort of habits do you have? Are you making the gospel attractive, or are you putting people off by how it is that you function? Do you contradict yourself constantly by what you say, watch, listen to, how you present yourself? I mean, what do you think is attractive? So for that reason, what are you forming yourself around? Are you getting to know Jesus more and more, looking at his example, or spending most of your time imitating others because that's what you think and feel you need to be doing? And this is actually where our second part comes in quite well. I don't know about you, but I don't like being second. My team got thrashed today. We lost 9-0. That's not just second, that's last. Like, that's, you're terrible. They were very good. But we don't often like being put second, do we? Let alone being put last. And so what do? We follow people who are successful, like on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever those things are, but also in real life. We associate with the cool crowd or the it group. We pattern ourselves off what puts us first as well then. We imitate what will make us successful in the eyes of successful people. And so we please people for our own benefit, don't we? But here is where Jesus is very different, which means, guess what? We should be too. And there is a reason I put humble last in these two, attractive and humble, because it sort of governs the two. Have a look at the passage that was read for us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 to 11. Just turn to there if you've got your Bibles there. The stuff will be on the screen as well. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 has come to this point where he's done this huge, long unpacking of what it means to eat food that's been sacrificed to idols or not eat this food, this idol food. And now he says at verse 31, so therefore. So what's he about to do? Apply. He's about to apply all that he's been teaching. And what he's wanting to apply here is the same as what he wanted to do in Titus. I want you not to be unattractive, or not making the gospel unattractive, but attractive, ultimately promoting the gospel. So have a look, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, remember he's been talking about all this food, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, the governing principle to go above all things. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. I think this is a great little verse, and particularly for young people today. I think it's great for all of us, but I particularly think for young people. I don't know about you as you live in high school or when you grew up in high school, but people pleasing was something I did a lot of. I probably spent most of my high school life trying to please people. I'll explain with an example. I was trying to fit into this group and they had this initiation game that I had to do. And there was a few little tests that I had to pass. Now, this was just straight up to please them. The first one was we had this thing called a top step battle. I don't know whether I should be telling you this, you might just go and do it. But there was this place in our school where there was just steps and a wall. And all the groups stood on the steps, and then you stood at the top, and two blokes stood at one end, you stood at the other with your arms tied behind your back, and what do you think happened? They were just allowed to punch you. Do you know why I did it? Because I wanted to please people. I wanted to fit in that way. And then the next initiation part was my challenge was to hit somebody in the head with a rock. Yeah. Yeah, and why was I doing all this? To please people, because I ultimately wanted to fit and be like that. And so I think these verses are particularly fitting for us today. Even now, it's hard not to live to please people, because a lot of the time you're either pleasing them because you want, well, let's be real. You might not call yourself a people pleaser, but we either please other people or ultimately we're seeking to please this person. Either way, it really ends up about me, really. I want to please others to keep myself happy like I did, or I know we all do it to an extent, or you don't really care about another person's opinion, so you won't try to please them at all. Both these things run counter to what Paul says in verse 33. Verse 33, like, hits us with a massive slice of humble pie, a big slice that we as a sent people probably need to take and eat. Have a look at it again with me, because he says, even as I try to what? Please everybody in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Paul isn't saying be a people pleaser. He's not saying go and throw rocks at people. Certainly not. What he's saying is he's picking up on what he did way back in chapter 9 when he began this discussion. 9:22, he said, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Paul is really saying, I work hard when it comes to my Christian life, taking into account all these other people, all the interests of everybody, just so that I can show them what the gospel really is. I mean, I keep truth primary every time, but I'm willing to seek the good of others, even if that means, and this is where it's really hard to follow Jesus, even if that means I put my own profit, my own advantage, my own self second, because I live for God's glory, and I live that others might be saved, because I live like Christ. There is something attractive about that, though, isn't there? Somebody loving you so much more than they love themselves. And something liberating too, it's freeing. And you want to know what the greatest example of this is? It's the cross. When Jesus sacrificed himself for us, that's the point where he shows himself most godlike and most human-like in that moment. And so I wonder what that looks like for us. Habits that show we're about other people, just like Christ was. I think we can start with our attitude, as in, I mean, Philippians 2 starts, your attitude should be, and then unpacks how it is that Jesus died on the cross. And then here in Corinthians, we've seen what we seek. What do we want to be like? What do we want people to think of when they think of us? Do we want them to think of Jesus or all these other things that we're imitating? Because people are watching. Let me tell you, people are watching when you do this. And Paul knew flesh and blood examples are important. That's why he says here now, verse 1 of chapter 11, follow my example as I follow the example, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. And when you want to, I guess, when you like how someone does something, how do you learn from them? What do? You watch them, you interact with them. Or if you just want to do something or learn, I mean, who's on their L's at the moment here? There's a few of you, that's terrifying. Who is teaching someone on their L's at the moment, or who has taught somebody on their L's? Surely there's more than that. I mean, is it terrifying? Yeah. Habits are formed this way too. We don't teach people how to drive by saying, here's your book, off you go, enjoy it, and then let them loose on the road. No. It'd be a mess. We usually learn, we pick up habits through flesh and blood examples, don't we? Think about how you learned to walk. Think about how you learned to read, how you learned to go to the toilet. It's true. Trust me, Micah and Tilly. How you learned to write. This is just the same, if not more important, in the life of a Christian. If you want to be like Jesus, you look at Jesus, and then you look at those who are just like him, the older and wiser, and those people should be saying, come on, come and watch me. See how discipleship and mission come together? Why it's so important to watch your youth leaders? Why it's so important for youth leaders to seek to know and understand who Jesus is so they can live like him? Why it's so important for adults and parents? And you heard it in the stories of those young girls, didn't you? I remember a man in my life who said to me, come and watch. He wasn't saying it specifically to watch his whole life, but we were going out, he was preparing to go on mission, and we was going out into Lakemba, and he said, I was a bit nervous, I'm from Lithgow originally, there's not much cultural diversity out there, let's be honest, and I came and he said, just watch me. I was nervous about going into these shops where they spoke a different language and it just was different. He said, just watch me. But then I took that a little bit further, I think, because I watched him as he met with his kids and met with his wife, as he met with people, as he interacted in life. And I can also tell you that there's a lady now who I happen to call my wife that I did the same with, because there was something different about the way that she functioned. As a young man who, like I know many do, knew Jesus sort of theoretically, I knew how to pretend. I could pretend like the best of them. I quickly saw to be Christian is more than this. That a man like that, like my friend Mike, showed me what it meant to be like Christ. And you know what that did? It showed me the gospel. Like, I'd probably say that I don't really call myself a Christian before that point. And I hope that if you've come here today, maybe with a friend, that they are attractive and humble. Not, again, like that. But like Jesus. And I hope that as we, as parents and leaders and all these different people, we're trying to show to people what it is that the gospel is through our behavior. Think about Emily's story. I loved hearing her say her family, her grandparents, all these people, the Brodies, helping her see. And then she understood that Jesus lived a real life, sacrificed himself for her. And Sarah was the same, growing up knowing, but not necessarily really knowing. And the day that her family prayed with her, and then Robin Garlick leading her and teaching her, people like Christ, showing Christ to them. They say that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Oscar Wilde said, as I said at the beginning, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity, like us, can pay to greatness like our God. You know what God says? He says, imitate Christ. So, who or what do you really imitate? Do you promote and flatter somebody else by what you do? Because we are people who are sent to be like Christ. And through us, people can and will see the greatness of Christ as we live lives like him, attractively humble. And hopefully that means as we demonstrate that, we promote the gospel, God's glory, and we will see people saved. I'm going to pray as we prepare to see a couple of people demonstrate what it means to have been saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that Jesus came in flesh and blood. We thank you for the many examples down the ages of people who have lived like Christ. And we ask that you help us to be a people who live like Christ, that we live in such a way that we are attractive like he was and we are humble like he was. And for that reason, people can then see the gospel and know just how much it is that you love us. Please, Lord, help us to continue to be a sent people as we consider this series. And now, Father, help us to watch Emily and to watch Sarah as they demonstrate what it means to trust you. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.